We welcome you. We ask that you would go to our website and visit us online, crossroadbc.com, where you'll be able to find not only today's sermon, but you can also receive other blessings of services that we've had in the past, and it will be a true blessing to you. Go to our website, crossroadbc.com, or you can visit us on Facebook. We're here every Sunday, 10 o'clock, for our worship, and we're also here, amen, in Sunday school at 9 a.m. God is good, amen? Amen. Amen. Let's give a shout out to those that are listening online, amen. And I also ask that you pray for those that are doing the technical work, because it ain't easy. I'm telling you, it's a lot of responsibilities that they have, and trying to keep everything going as smoothly as possible. That is the prayer that we would pray for them. Amen? Amen. A lot is going on in our nation. A lot's going on in our world. And people are left with the question, what is true? What's false? And what do we follow? So I want to bring you a message today. We've been talking about discovering God's riches, and we've been looking at the riches of God based on His truth. On His truth. That great hymn that was sung, His truth keeps marching on. And certainly the truth of God is revealed to those who seek it. I invite your attention to John chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. John 1, verse 15 through 18. St. John 1, verses 15 through 18. If you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not there, say hold up. Amen. I'll ramble a little bit long until you get there. Hear ye the word of the Lord. John bore witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spoke. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace, grace on top of grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. Amen for the word of God. Amen. Amen. I want to bring you a message today entitled, Here Comes the Truth. Here comes the truth. Those that are online, again, we remind you that this is our fourth Sunday. We will be celebrating communion, so get your grape juice and your wafer, and we will celebrate together at the end of this service. We're at a point in human history where we, like Pilate, are asking, what is the truth? What is the truth? Some are confused and have made the wrong assumption that truth is the collection of facts and data. They assume if you get enough data, if you get enough facts, then you will arrive at the truth. Others assume and have interpreted truth as the unfolding of human events along with their tragic consequences. They're saying that's the truth. Still others are saying if we could just get back to nature, we could just get back to the things that we used to do. And I remember horse and buggy days. Is that the truth? Jesus gave us the verse in John 8 and 32. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I have problems with our modern day search for truth. I have problems with it, and I'll try to bring this out. I also want to comment on some of the things that's happening, our Supreme Court ruling, and what does the Bible say about that? What does the Bible say? A lot of people saying, well, we demand this, and others are saying we demand that, but what does the Bible say? We'll get to that in just a second. But the first problem that I have with people searching for the truth, many believe that if we can come up with the right document, if we can get a statement that really represents who we are, that will eventually bring us to the truth. This all started, a lot of it, back during the period of enlightenment and the revolution several hundred years ago. Those that believed and embraced democracy, they believed that they could get a document together and people would support that document, and so it is, we the people of the United States of America. We believe in these things. We support these things. The communistic approach to that said, well, we believe in that we're all equal, we should share things together, and we're going to draft this document which basically says we are free if we do these things, or we will have support if we do these things. Only one problem with the document. It's called human error. You can come up with the greatest documents that you want, but it's left up to humans to live up to it. Can you get an amen? In this verse, it was brought out, the law was given by Moses. Now, you know that the law came from God. It was perfect, but it had one critical problem, and it wasn't on the side of the law. It was on the side of humankind. So the Bible says, no one has kept the law. Not one. There are none righteous. No, not one. You say, well, what about Abraham? That was before the law, but Abraham, he wasn't perfect. Then after the law, you had Moses who gave the law. He wasn't perfect. You had people that followed, and they weren't perfect. And so it brings out specifically in this verse, the law was given by Moses. But the law could not set us free. The law would tell you if you were doing wrong. The law would condemn you, but it offered no salvation. But I love the latter part of that verse. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. If you're dependent on the life that everything's going to be perfect and you're going to be perfect, you need to slap yourself and wake up. Because we are imperfect people. We can believe all that we want, but unless you have the grace and the truth of God manifesting itself in your life, you will come short of God's glory every time. So human documents, or documents that we draft, cannot bring us to the level of truth that we need. Second problem that we have with truth and our search for it, normally when people are searching for truth, they do it with a profit motive. In other words, if I pursue this, it's going to be a payoff. So really what we're trying to do in search for truth, we're looking for a jackpot. So we go out searching for truth and we say, well, if I can find the truth, it's going to make me rich. It's going to make me happy. It's going to make me famous. It's going to be all of these wonderful things in my life. And then I will say, I have arrived at the truth. Is that truth? And there are a lot of people who have fallen on tragedy because they held on to that philosophy. Truth means more than what you can put in your pocket. Truth means more than being accepted by the masses of people. Truth means you have something on the inside that lets you know that God is real and that God is good. This brings us to the point where we have to ask the question that James asked in the book of James. He said that, now, what are you searching for? How are you going about that search? He said that many have this state of what we call double-mindedness. Double-mindedness. In James 1 and 8, it says their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in all of their ways. We got mixed motives of what truth is. We're not going to be very sound in what we believe and how we practice the doctrines of God. Is that the truth? We need to make sure that the truth is through one person. The Bible declares that it's not through the documents that man makes. It's not through our motives that we search for truth. But truth can only come through one source, and that's Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. But then I got a third problem. A lot of people believe that approach to truth is just let it happen. Whatever it is, that's what it is. How many times have you used the saying, it is what it is? I caught myself yesterday saying, it is what it is. Is that truth? Now, granted, it happened, but is that truth? Some things have happened in life that have been tragic and they've been dead wrong. I remember back in the early 60s, late 50s, Doris Day made this song, Que Sera, Sera. Whatever will be, will be. So we wander through life, Que Sera, Sera, whatever it is, and we assume it's going to work out on the good side. But how many of y'all had some bad days? You've had some tragedies that have happened and you've shaken your head and said, wait a minute, this should not be that way. And I can tell you when grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, he said, it is not that way. It is what God says it is. So I'm going to come back to that in just a second, but I want to deal with something that now that we have more than ever a divided nation, we talk about we the people, but that depends on which side of the fence you're standing on. Can I get a witness? Amen. So the recent Supreme Court ruling has been, well, you know, women ought to have their rights and people ought not to do this and they ought not to do that. Gun control, all of that's being brought up. Let me give you what the Bible says. And I think that will kind of help us arrive at the truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, for those that think that you own your own body. This is what it says. This is the truth now. This is what it says. What? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I believe it's verse number 16. What? Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Verse 17, if anyone destroys or defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So for those folk that say, well, my body's my own, I should make my own decisions. That may work for the world, but if you're a Christian, I don't hear many amen, but I'm getting some echoes from heaven saying, preach it, boy. If you're a Christian, you would honor this verse. And I'm not putting anybody down. I'm not saying that there aren't circumstances which will come in, but all I'm holding up is the Word of God, and it is what God says it is. All right, so let me go a little bit further. Let me go a little bit further over in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, because Paul was addressing the problems in Corinth. They believe we don't need to change, or we can just keep doing the same thing that we've been doing because we're Christians now. We're going to heaven. Jesus paid it all. And so they assumed that they could live reckless lives and do everything that the world was dictating to them. And Paul said, wait a minute, it ain't that way. He brings up in chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? So pause for a minute. It's not just your soul, it's also your body. Your hands, your feet, and later on, he's going to tell some of the Christians, you don't commit fornication. Boy, it got quieter. You can hear a pin drop. Because your body wasn't designed for that. Your body was designed to honor God, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's your body. So listen what it says. Listen what it says. What, know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? God purchased you with his precious blood, and you're not your own. Now, do we sin? Yeah, sure we do. But should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Somebody say, If you know better, you do better. Come on, talk back to me. If you know better, you ought to do better. Look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, if you know better, you ought to do better. Because God wants to instruct us. He wants us to have it. So here's the problem that we have as humans. We're in this search for truth, and somehow we can't get to the truth. And people have misinterpreted truth as, well, whatever I feel. Well, you're back to Doris Day. You're singing with her, the chorus. Que sera, sera, whatever would be. Well, you can't do that and expect to live the kind of life that God wants you to live. So what is the truth? Discovering God's truth means that we turn to God. And rather than leave the whole matter to question, God said, wait a minute. I've been speaking to you from heaven, but I'm going to come down to where you are. And I'm going to speak to you on your level. I'm going to walk among you and be your God. I'll indwell myself with flesh so that you will know that I am the Lord God Almighty. So what was Jesus doing for 33 years of his life? Revealing truth. Telling us, if you want to see the truth, take a look at me. Behold me and know that I'm God. So when John came preaching this, when John declared this message, he didn't just, you know, mix words. He said, wait a minute, here comes the truth. You've been looking to Moses for your salvation, but wait a minute, grace and truth can only come through Jesus Christ. That's why I'm glad to praise him today. That's why I'm so thankful that he's revealed truth to us, because guess what, folk? Every one of us have messed up. You all have a record. Every one of us has a record. You have denied God's truth. But here's the grace of God. Rather than God legally punishing you through the law, God says, wait a minute, I'm going to give them my grace, but I'm also going to give them my truth. I want to close this message by giving you a couple of things today that you need to look at and you need to consider. One is the fact that we've got to find, we have the challenge of finding truth, but truth is something that is offered. Truth is something that is offered. For everything that happens in life, God says, now here's the truth. You can do it either your way, or you can accept the truth and follow it. It may mean that you'll have to put up something up front, but you'll get a reward in the end. We've switched the thing and we said, wait a minute, I want to get something up front and pay in the end. That's the devil's offer. God's offer is you pay up front, you get something in the end. And here's the good part. See where it says grace and truth? Grace comes along with truth. He gives you what you need to pay up front. How good is that? Man, that's like me going into a car dealership and needing a new car and somebody coming in and say, hey, I'll pay your down payment. Matter of fact, I'll help you make every payment. That's the grace of God. That's the goodness and the mercy of God. So truth is something that is offered. Of his fullness, look at this, verse 16, and of his fullness, John chapter 1, 16, we have all received. I got it. We've all received the grace of God, and grace for grace. Look back over your life and look at the ups and downs that you've been through, the struggles that you had, and then for every struggle, God gave you some grace. But grace didn't stop at that. God doesn't look at you at your next time of need and say, well, I gave you grace yesterday. No. God gives you grace today. Matter of fact, you woke up this morning and there was brand new mercy. Brand new mercy. Oh, praise his name. Bless him today. God offered you something. Man could not give to God what he had wanted. They could not produce the righteousness, even though the law was exactly perfect. But the flaw was in me. But thank God for grace. Ah, thank God for his goodness. But not only does truth offer something, truth means something. It means something to you and me. For the law was given by Moses, verse 17. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The meaning of truth is not in the events that take place. The meaning of truth is in the life that you're now living through Christ. Let me just show you what I mean. It says, but as many as received him, To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. How did I become a child of God? I didn't become a child of God. Well, I'm going to do right now. I done did wrong all my life. I'd still be doing wrong if it wasn't for the grace of God. Let me literally show you how that works. Every time you get what Reverend Gibbons called that stinking thinking in your mind, grace grabs you and says, wait a minute, you don't belong to yourself. Grace holds you. Now, how many of you all have had people who have wronged you and you said to yourself, as soon as I have an opportunity, I'm going to get even with them? But then grace shows you another way. Come on now. You in church. Don't do that. You might as well admit it, because every one of us have been offended at times. You've had people who've hurt your feelings. You've had people who've done you wrong. How many of you have had people that asked you for $20 and you never got it back? And some of the amounts might be a little bit more, you know, they ask you. And then the nerve of the same people to come back to you thinking that you've forgotten. I ain't forgot the last $20. God gives you grace for grace. And that truth means something. It means that every morning that you wake up, you have a fresh perspective on what life should be and what life could be and not what it is. If you go by the statement, it is what it is, you're going to live a hopeless life. You're going to abandon every amount of faith. But what does faith tell us? Faith tells us that if we believe God and we trust in him, he will lead us to a destination. He will lead us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And that's the truth. So truth had to be revealed. And when the truth was revealed, it offered something. When the truth was revealed, it meant something. But not only was truth meaning something and offering something, truth does something. It does something. What does it do, preacher? Notice in verse 18 of John 1, it says, no one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. Notice the phrase, he has declared him. Underline that word declare, unless you got one of those Bibles that you don't like to write in. Underline it anyway. Mess up your Bible. Underline it. Because the declaration means that something was hidden, but now it's exposed. It wasn't enough for Jesus just to say, I'm going to show you truth for 33 years. He said, I'm going to show truth through everyone that believes in me. I'm going to reveal the truth in them, not just to them. I'm not just going to say this is the truth. I'm going to expose the truth in them and through them. How many of you all have had people that have walked up to you and said, I don't know what it is that you've got, but you've got something that I like. How many have had that happen? People are recognizing that there's more to you than just what the eye beholds. There's something about the way you carry yourself. There's something about your character. That's because truth is now resident in your heart. It's an amazing thing. I don't know how great big God can fit into little bitty us. Have you asked that question? I don't know how he does it, but God can work miracles, and he's worked miracles in every one of our lives. So let me close by giving you a couple of definitions of people who walked in the truth, who didn't accept the fact it is what it is. I want to begin with Abraham and his wife Sarah. Here were two people that could have accepted life as it was and said, that's it. They were barren, they didn't have any children, but God picked them out in order to pick them up. Abram and Sarah feared God, they believed in God, and God made them a promise. And they could have accepted the fact, well, we're past the age now. If Sarah, you're an old lady now. Sometimes I look at Jesse, I say, you know what? You're still beautiful, but I don't know, honey, you. I've got myself in trouble now. Y'all help me out.
It's one of those moments where you said stuff and then you kind of said, man, I shouldn't have said that.
Sarah and Abram were beyond the years that anyone would tell them, you're going to have a family. And yet God stepped in and revealed the truth to them. Here came the truth. Here was the truth revealed to them. It ain't over until it's over. They believed God, and they acted on their faith in God. As a matter of fact, it was so much to them and so overwhelming that when Sarah heard it, she laughed. And God said, Sarah, that's a good name to call the baby, laughter. That's what Isaac means. And 1 year later, the truth came. There was Isaac. There she was holding him and just laughing her heart out. Why? Because she knew that the promise and the power of God had made it happen. That's the truth. Some of you have situations in your life and you're looking at those situations and you're saying to yourself, it ain't going to change. But do you know the truth? Let the truth come in and let the truth start talking to you and not circumstances, not situations. Believe God and watch the Lord move in your life. That's the truth. I got another testimony. What if Joseph in the Bible, what if he had had the song in that day, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. Brothers threw him in the pit. And then they took him out and they were going to kill him, but the Ishmaelites bought him. They said, well, we might as well make a little money on him. They bought him and then they took him into Egypt, sold him as a slave. What if on his journey he kept saying to himself, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. He didn't buy it, and neither did God. So if you're in the pit today, I got good news for you. You got a God that says, it ain't what it is. It is what I say it is. Sold into Egypt and got hired by somebody, seemed like he was climbing the corporate ladder. Official now in the life, he was in management, he was over the household of this Potiphar that was in Egypt, and lo and behold, Potiphar's wife decided, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. And man, she lit in on him and wanting to sleep with him, and he said, no, I can't do this and offend my God. I can't live this kind of way. I know I don't have a Bible because the scriptures hadn't been written at the time, but I got something on the inside that tells me I can't go along with your song. I can't be singing que sera, sera. And here we are in a mess. God didn't bring me this far. I wish I could preach like I felt today. He didn't bring me this far to leave me now. There he was. And the next thing you know, Joseph was lied on by Potiphar's wife. Now he's in prison, but I wish you would read the verse that follows his imprisonment. It says, but the Lord was with Joseph in the prison. Now, was God just there to keep him company? No, God was there to remind him truth is on its way. Yeah, Joseph, you've had some bad days. You've had some sad times. You've had some tears to roll down your cheek. But it ain't over until God says it's over. What took about 13 years to try to destroy him, it took God one day. Look at somebody, tell them one day. My day is coming. My day is coming. Look at somebody again and tell them, my day is coming. I done put up with a whole lot of mess. I done dealt with a whole lot of things, and I'm still holding on. My grandma would say, you can't make me doubt him because I know too much about him. He's on his way. Touch somebody again. No, don't touch him. That's right. You still. No, don't touch nobody. He's on his way. Truth is on its way. You hold on. You keep believing. Why do we keep coming to church every Sunday? Because we're still looking for the truth to reveal itself. It took God one day to correct all the wrong that his brothers had did him. God erased it. Don't you know heaven's got a big eraser? As a matter of fact, that's what mercy does. Mercy erases your mess. God said, let me erase that. They wrote the wrong history about my boy. I'm going to keep certain parts in it, but I'm going to put in here that one day God was with him in the prison, and the next thing you know, God called him out of prison and set him free. Why? Grace showed up. Truth showed up. And the Lord revealed himself. I got one more witness. I got to go to this man. This is my man. Come here, Daniel. Tell the people about the truth. Daniel said, I was a praying man in a foreign land, in captivity, in a place of slavery, in a place where he wasn't free, but God kept touching him with the truth, and Daniel would live that truth through his character. He prayed more than you and I do. Man prayed 3 times a day and in between time, opened his window to heaven. He'd have a praise break anytime he got ready. He honored God. And the next thing you know, people got together, conspired against him. We're going to make a law. I love the way people make laws today. You know, it's kind of funny. And my thing is, hey, y'all, wake up. Just do what's right. Same people who believe that you ought not have an abortion don't believe in gun control. Wait a minute. You can't have one without the other. If you believe in life before birth, you ought to believe in life after birth. Talk to me in here. I'm just trying to make some sense of it. If you believe in life, you believe in life, period. You got everybody getting a gun now. I don't have a gun. I don't want a gun, and I don't want one in my house. Because I don't know my... Now, I ain't gonna see it. I know. Gotcha. I know what y'all was thinking. And I was thinking the same thing, too, but I didn't... Have mercy, Jesus. I'm in some hot water, Miss Newby. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Here it was in closing. Joseph had people who didn't believe in him. For whatever reason, you're going to have co-workers who don't believe in you. You're going to have friends who don't believe in you. You're going to have people who will not support you, whatever the reason. And they will come up with every excuse to try to get rid of you, to try to undermine you. Don't live your life responding to them.
Amen, Pastor.
If you get in a tussle with a skunk, you might win. But the evidence that you tussle with a skunk is going to be all over you. So don't waste your time with people who ain't going nowhere, because you're going somewhere. Daniel found himself, because of his stand for God, he found himself in a lion's den. I don't know what your situation today is. May not be as critical as a lion's den, but you know that lions and humans don't get along together unless the human has some weapons to ward off the lion. Daniel had none of those. Thrown into the lion's den. And it was assumed that the lions were going to eat him up. And so the people who put him there, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. But that thing rattled heaven. And God dispatched it. Go down there. Tell them lions that Daniel ain't for lunch. Tell those lions, I said, I made you. And you ain't eating Daniel today. The same lions that are trying to destroy you, God can speak to your life and tell them you ain't on the menu. God has greater plans for your life. Sure enough, the next morning when the king got up and gave a lamentable cry, oh, Daniel, is your God able? And Daniel said, yeah, you're able. Well, he didn't say it that way. That's my interpretation. But yes, my God has stopped the mouth of the lion. I close with this by telling us, don't get swallowed up by this mess that's going on in this world. Shake that dust off. Do like we would do in the country when you got ready to come into the house. Get the dust off you. and know that you're in the presence of the living God. And God will keep you every step of the way. And I guarantee you that if truth doesn't show up today, grace will. How's that? Will that work? Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the refreshing knowledge of knowing that we are not under crisis management, but we are under Christ management. He's the ruler of our lives and the keeper of our soul. And he comes to bring us the truth. Bless that one that may be hearing today. They may be hearing the wrong message. That all they are is a drug addict, and all they are is a pothead, or all they are is someone who is lost and confused in life. Tell them the truth, that they are what you say they are. But they've got to come to you. And they've got to bow and they've got to confess that you are Lord to the glory of God the Father. And Lord, that's the truth. That's the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we celebrate communion, I want to invite those that maybe have never befriended Christ. You've never accepted his love and his grace. Today would be a great day to say, Jesus, bring the truth into my heart. Fellowship with me. Come into my heart and save me. It's not an elaborate thing that you have to do. Just simply confess that you need him and that you want him. If that's your prayer, those that are in here, you can come down the aisle and we'll greet you. We'll pray with you. Those that are watching online, you can just simply bow your head, say that simple prayer. And even if you never get in touch with us, you can just still say, you know what, today I believe the truth. But if you choose to get in touch with us, crossroadbc.com, send us an email, pastor@crossroadbc.com, and we'll be able to share more of what it means to trust in Christ. Isn't God good, y'all? Amen. Give him a great big hand clap. He didn't have to do it, but thank God he did. We're going to get ready to celebrate our communion today. Each of you have been given a cup. You've been given a little wafer on top. If we would prepare our hearts and prepare our minds, this is a reminder of what Christ has sacrificed for us. It's a reminder of what he did and how he paid the heavy debt to bring us the truth. Let us pray. Father, bless these sacraments. I pray that we would be reminded of your grace and love by taking them today, that they would not be just the ordinary ceremony or some immaterial thing, but it would mean something in our hearts. The debt that you paid, and our faith which accepted that gift. May we be reminded today of your tremendous outpouring of love. Bless it as only you can, and help us through receiving it, that we might be strengthened as your saints. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Is there anyone that needs communion before we partake? Someone needs a communion? Give me a little chance to talk a little more. I can't stop talking about the goodness of God and all he's done for us. Amen? I know the truth about it. The devil told a lie that I wasn't going to be anything. Nobody from my family would ever be anything. I might not be all that you want me to be, but I thank God I know the Lord for myself. How about that? Amen? So don't give up on yourself. Everybody received it. Let us now take the bread. Let us eat together. And now let us take the cup and let us drink together. The Bible said that when they had eaten and drank of the Lord's Supper, they went out into the Mount of Olives, singing a hymn. I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I'm free. God's eye is on the sparrow, and he watches over me. Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? Why
should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion and constant friend is he? Come on, y'all know it. He is at his on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Oh, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Oh, you know that I sing because I am happy. Lord, and I sing because I am free. Praise God Almighty, I know that his eye is on, the sparrow, oh, the sparrow. Lord, and I know he watches over me. Oh, you know that I sing because I'm happy. Yes, I am. Lord, and I sing because I am free.
Rest, rule, and abide in your heart and bring you truth. In Jesus' name, and all the glad people said, amen.